of the life I live.
On WSLR LP 96.5 FM in Sarasota and WBPV LP 100.1 FM in Bradenton, this is Jackson Rothman with your WSLR news headlines for January 29th. State and federal officials pulled out just days before an annual Everglades restoration meeting, leaving organizers scrambling to replace keynote speakers and panelists at the Everglades Coalition Conference this week. That's according to a report by Miami Public Radio Station WLRN. Organizers of the three-day conference, which began yesterday, say they are without answers on why state and federal officials are not attending, but recent cuts to environmental agencies and dismantling of environmental protections suggest major tensions with the state of Florida, specifically around Governor Ron DeSantis' alligator Alcatraz prison. Environmentalists and the Muckasookie tribe have sued the state over the immigrant detention camp in the Big Cypress Preserve. The Everglades Coalition Conference is held at hotels and resorts around the state. This year's opening event was in Naples. It's in its 41st year, and it has offered an opportunity to address problems surrounding what is one of the nation's largest ecosystem restoration projects. Pilatus, the Swiss aircraft manufacturer, broke ground Monday on a $200 million sales and manufacturing facility at Sarasota-Bradenton International Airport. In a press release, Pilatus CEO Marcus Buehr said that the construction start, quote, marks the beginning of an exciting new chapter for Pilatus in the United States. We are establishing Sarasota as a major production site, serving our customers right where they are, unquote. The Sarasota facility will be the first time Pilatus manufactures airplanes outside of Switzerland. The project, announced in August 2024, promises close to 350 jobs for Sarasota area residents. Pilatus believes its presence, along with the area's resort atmosphere, will attract high-net-worth clients from around the world. SRQ President and CEO Paul Hoback called this groundbreaking a long-term investment. More than half of Pilatus' supply chain originates in the U.S., making a stateside facility much more efficient for assembling aircrafts. On Tuesday, Representative Vern Buchanan announced he will not be seeking re-election after 20 years in office. That has left political observers speculating about what Republicans might try to succeed him. Shortly after news of Buchanan's retirement broke, Representative Randy Fine posted on X endorsing Joe Gruters. Gruters, the current chair of the Republican National Convention, previously served as state senator for the Sarasota area. Other potential names were floated by ousted former Florida GOP chair Christian Ziegler. He mentioned State Representative Fiona McFarland, former State Representative Tommy Gregory, and Buchanan's son, Florida State Representative James Buchanan, who is currently running for Gruters' state Senate seat. Buchanan himself is yet to endorse a potential successor. This has been Jackson Rothman with your WSLR news headlines for January 29th.
Welcome to The Detail. I'm your host, Kathy Antunes, and you are listening to The Detail on WSLR 96.5 LPFM in Sarasota, Florida, and WBPV 100.1 LPFM in Bradenton, Florida. Programming at WSLR is supported by listeners like you and by Ringling College Galleries and Exhibitions. Ringling College's 2025-26 exhibition season features art from Ringling students, alumni, faculty, and nationally recognized artists from a wide range of mediums and from diverse backgrounds. More information is available at ringlingcollege.gallery. And the views and opinions expressed by hosts, guests, and callers on WSLR programs are their own and do not necessarily reflect those of WSLR staff or volunteers. Well, we're in a pivotal time for our democracy at every level of government. With me today is longtime activist, my friend and neighbor, Jim Lample, who I met back in 2008 when we were both at a city commission meeting and we were concerned about stadium spending. And I mean, that was a whole economic issue about public dollars for stadiums. We didn't think, and the data shows that it actually is not the best spend in terms of return on investment for the public. So we were there talking about that. And I have to say, even then, it struck me as, it struck me how disrespectful the commissioners could be and how there were tactics being used even then to marginalize and public input. So Jim is joining me today because we're going to talk about what we're seeing at the City Commission. And I was actually sitting next to a speaker well over a year ago who was being Rob Grant, who they were saying was engaging in personal attacks when actually he was just giving factual input. So, Jim, welcome. And why don't we start with you telling me about your personal experience? It was January 5th. You were at a City Commission meeting. And what happened?
Thank you, Kathy. I got up at the open to the public portion, which usually happens twice in each commission session. And I started by quoting verbatim what Kyle Battee, a sitting commissioner, had said at a previous meeting regarding noise and downtown city residents having to endure it because that's the price they pay for living in the downtown urban core. Before I could get to my next statement, I was interrupted by Mayor Debbie Trice, who says to the effect that it sounds like you're moving toward a personal attack.
Yeah. I do have that clip. That same day, we had
Renique Dawkins.
Yeah, so we had two speakers. I'm going to start with Mr. Victor Woods. And he was talking about what was going on in Newtown. And I think it gives good context in terms of just the day-to-day issues that we need to be able to talk about with our city commission. Mr. Woods is a professional speaker. He mentions that in his comment. And he talks about Newtown residents basically not being able to sleep at night due to noise. Here's Mr. Woods.
Victor Woods. Do you mind if I stand? Is that all right?
As long as you can hit the microphone.
Yeah, So thank you for allowing me to speak briefly. How you doing, Kyle? Nice to see you.
I need you to be in the mic, though.
Oh, you need me on the mic?
Yeah, you got to be in the mic. You're more good.
Yeah. Hey, there you go. So the reason I'm here today is to discuss Newtown and the noise. I don't live in Newtown. I don't want to live in Newtown. I live in Lakewood Ranch. I'm from Chicago. I'm a national speaker and published with Sign Issues to Kevin Hart's Turning My Life Story into a movie. You can look that up if you want. The reason that I'm here is some of the people in Newtown have been calling me about the noise, telling me about it. I've looked at it. Simple thing. I go back to Lakewood Ranch. I live next to doctors, lawyers, people that won the lottery. They don't look like me. They look like most of you. If I go and play my music loud in my neighborhood, they're going to call the police. If I don't turn the music down, I'm going to go to jail that night. It's just not tolerated. This is a problem for the poor. I've never seen a city where you have so much affluence so close to poor, disproportionate people. They want their music down. It's a law enforcement issue. I also worked with Chief Sheriff Wells. I brought the crime rate down in Palmetto. I worked with law enforcement all over the United States. And I'll be on TV Wednesday with the Bradenton Police Chief helping with initiatives there. Just letting you know that what's going on in Newtown is completely unacceptable. What's good for the white people that live in Sarasota is good for those black people, even though they're poor. If you don't care about the adults, what about the children that live there? It's a simple law enforcement issue. It's not racial profiling. If people in my neighborhood don't want to slow down with the speed limit, they don't have a choice. You don't have a choice. You either break. When I was downtown across from the Gator Club in a very expensive car, police officer came over to me and said, turn your music down at 12 at night. I was listening to Frank Sinatra. I said, you don't like Sinatra? We both laughed. I turned the music down. What is the difference between the people in that neighborhood because they're poor and black, so it's okay for them to have that music? Again, I'm from Lakewood Ranch. I used to live in the country club where Dick Vitale lives. I can't do that in my neighborhood. It's not common sense. They're poor. Eventually, what will happen in Sarasota is you will get rid of that whole area and build condos on it and do other things. That's what we do in all cities. Every city has this problem. And then they ask the black people in the neighborhood to patrol it and police their own area. Doesn't make any kind of sense. So I come to you good people. I heard you recognize the Pledge of Allegiance. Can the people in Newtown get justice for all? Just basic common sense. Turn the music down. The reason I'm here is because Ronique, wherever she is, I don't know where she is right now, she's got cancer. She calls me on the phone every weekend and says I can't sleep after her chemotherapy. That's why I'm here. Otherwise, I'd be at home watching SportsCenter. I own my own company. It's a nice place here, but I don't want to be in here. I have other things to do. So I love Kyle. Kyle is my friend. It's good to see you, my brother at work. I've been in this office before. He's a nice guy. But thank you for listening to me. But just common sense. Law enforcement issue. And I understand what people are saying. Oh, if we go into Newtown and we pull over young black males, they might have a gun. They might have drugs in the car. They might have alcohol. Well, what difference does it make? When I leave here, I might get racially profiled driving down the street.
Sorry, thank you very much for your statement.
Thank you very much. I hope that you good people will do something about it.
Excuse me, no, we really need to stop now.
Well, we need to control the music with the music in Newtown.
You'll be asked to leave if you don't.
Okay, I'm going to leave right now.
Thank you.
Right now.
Mr. Martinucci.
Okay. So that was Victor Woods. Somebody who's used to public speaking, somebody who's very articulate, and I think he puts the problem really well. And this has been going on for quite some time in Newtown, and residents feel like they're not being represented. I think for me, when I watch or listen, And watch. I'm not surprised because I've seen it so much. But, you know, at the sound of that buzzer, these folks are cut off. And, you know, Mr. Woods may be new to public input. He's saying a few things at the end. And you've got the mayor jumping on him. Says, you know, you're going to be escorted out. When I think all she needed to do was say thank you so much, it is time for somebody else. And it's indicative of a posture toward the public. I mean, what are your thoughts?
Back in October, just a few months ago, the commissioners were given a tutorial by a well-known consultant on local government procedures. And during that talk that he gave to the commissioners, he even stated that you should give them enough leeway that even if they want to do a performative dance, he would recommend that you let them do that.
Do you want me to play that? I got
sure.
It. Okay,
sure.
Let's see if we can play that.
I would be very, very cautious there to work with your city attorney. That is a general statement on parliamentary procedure. If you're trying to do business and throughout the entire meeting somebody's yelling at the back, play Freebird! Like, at some point that's disruptive. It's clearly not applicable to anything we're doing. That's a little different when somebody says, I'm here in public comment and I wish to do an interpretive dance. Just let them have their 3 minutes and do their dance.
Okay. I got to laugh at the Freebird thing because he's dating himself, I think. But Freebird was like, yeah, play Freebird back in the 70s or the 80s. That was the thing, right? So, but the point being, so tell me about this workshop. This was a consultant advising on protocol under Robert's rules, right,
That's
for public
correct.
Input.
Right, right.
So just kind of, you've given me that clip, but
well,
just expound on that.
It's ironic because the commissioners were well-versed in rules and procedures, and the consultant had recommended that the mayor, whoever's presiding, give the public plenty of latitude,
yeah.
Leeway,
mm-hmm.
to be more liberal. Now, we've all heard people, some raconteurs like Martin Hyde, who's eloquent,
mm-hmm.
and former mayors.
We should say, you may not agree with him.
Yes, okay.
But he's well-spoken.
Well-spoken.
I mean, he's articulate.
And very factual.
Mm-hmm.
I often go just to hear Martin Hyde speak.
I'm laughing. Are you serious?
Yes, I am. Because Martin knows what he's talking about.
Well, he does a lot of the, yeah. And many times I agree with Martin. Of course, there are times where I'm like, yeah.
And he's gone as far as bringing props, and it's very entertaining.
Mm-hmm.
And the former mayor, Liz Alpert, when she was at the dais, she gave him plenty of latitude, which I think was appropriate.
Mm-hmm.
Because you may not like what the public has to say,
Right.
But you should endure it. It doesn't mean you have to act on it.
Uh-huh.
But you should hear them out.
Yeah.
It's also ironic that the commission and City Hall sort of promotes or say they promote public input.
Mm-hmm.
But when you go to the meetings, there aren't very many people in the audience. And it doesn't help the situation when you're censored because apparently the mayor doesn't like what you're going to say.
Yeah, and this is the thing, isn't it? I mean, you know, I remember I was, and I talked for a living. I was in sales, and the first time I went to a city commission meeting, I was quite nervous. I had never done it before. Most people are nervous. They're not going to be doing this on a regular basis. And when they watch, like the impact of what the city commission is doing, you know, the mayor right now, and those comments, which I've seen in the past, and the county commission, there's a chilling effect. Because there's a lot of people who watch that and then say, I don't want to deal with that. My input is not welcome. So to your point, this consultant was telling them, you've got to err on the side of giving people latitude, giving them plenty of room, which is, don't you think is kind of remarkable that we have a constitution that talks about the right of assembly, it talks about the right to free speech, it talks about the right to petition your government. And we are in a time at every level we're seeing nationally people pay with their lives for their right to assemble and their right to free speech, their right to protest. They're being shot, okay? But here we are in the city of Sarasota, and the city commission has not gotten the memo. I take issue with the idea that they're well-versed. They're not. You can have a consultant in front of them telling them what they're supposed to do, and yet this is what happens. So I want to play Ms. Ronique Hawkins. Mm-hmm. Now, she is the friend that Victor Woods referred to. And I have to tell you, you know, she is a young woman. I mean, but we have a lot of folks who are older. And this is not the first time that someone who's dealing with, that I've been aware, that someone who's dealing with a serious illness, cancer is a serious illness. It's important for people who are being treated to be able to sleep. I mean, that's just like quiet enjoyment of your home is a basic right in any society. So Ms. Hawkins is the friend of Mr. Woods. She was joined at the dais by an older gentleman who was in a wheelchair, and she was speaking for both of them. And they were both saying, we're not able to go to sleep at night because of what's happening. But she takes Commissioner Betty to task, okay? She takes him to task. So let's listen.
I first wanted to say good afternoon to everyone. I did this presentation in support of the, can you hear me? In support of the noise ordinance. And I put a photo of Reverend Dupree here. And he's one of our, I believe, our first black commissioner. I probably won't read some of this. I started this presentation because it's just my opinion that one of our black commissioners, Mr. Batty, I don't want to attack anyone, is failing this legacy. The issue in Newtown with the noise ordinance is being seriously ignored. And I wanted to actually play something, if I can. Am I allowed to? Okay. Very brief. Should I put it here? For the sound, you might want to put it closer to the mic. Okay.
Mayor, if I may interrupt for a second.
Okay, thank you.
If you're going to allow.
Okay.
Yeah.
No personal attacks. No personal attacks. I'm going to play this because I have. Okay. The time of this is 2.
Okay, I'm going to stop there. Ms. Hawkins goes on to play a video demonstrating noise issues in Newtown, but it's really the piece where, you know, the rules for citizens for public input are really strict, aren't they? I mean, that's been my experience.
Yes, but I think it's been upheld that the right to speak, especially political speech, has the highest bar.
Yeah, which if you're in front of the city commission, by definition, you are engaging in political speech, because politics, in the purest definition of the term, is how we organize ourselves as a society in terms of governance. That's politics. So when you're there, they're supposed to really give you a lot of room. And the kid gloves that I've seen, and by the way, it's not just the city commission, it's the county commission. In the past, I haven't watched too many county commissions recently, meetings, but also I've seen it at the school board, where just this is accountability, right? So Ronique Hawkins is engaging in accountability and telling her city commissioner, Kyle Batty, her words, that you are failing the legacy of Dr. Jerome Dupree, the first black commissioner in the city of Sarasota. And Kyle Batty interrupts her and asks the mayor if he has to endure this. Do I have to put up with this? Is the nature of his comment. And then Debbie Trice, the mayor, jumps in and, no personal time. No, if you are a city commissioner and you're going to shut down public input that is holding you accountable for doing your job, that's not a personal attack. You know, the only reason she's pointing at you is because you have a job, not because your shoes are funny, not because you don't talk the way she wants you. This is the definition of professional public feedback. And it's annoying. It's beyond annoying. We've got to do better, demand better from our public officials. That's my take. But this was really just bold example of how things have broken down.
I agree. It was not too long ago that a commissioner put up on the screen a terrible made-up, invented cartoon that demeaned Commissioner Batty. And the mayor,
Commissioner Batty, put up the cartoon that demeaned Commissioner Batty,
And then,
without verifying its authenticity.
And he went on for must have been 20 minutes without being interrupted. I read the transcript several times, and I was there. It went on and on and on. So apparently, commissioners, and as we know in the court case, it was adjudicated that he was immune because he was at the dais doing official business. So apparently we have two different standards, Kathy. We have the standard of what the commissioners can say about targeting the public, the people who aren't paid, who are volunteers, who want to just improve the city. But we have commissioners who can say anything they want, but the public is censored. And we have very narrow guardrails for the public.
Yeah, so for those who may not be totally familiar with what we're talking about, of course, Kelly Franklin was smeared publicly by Commissioner Batty. There was an agenda item. This was January 16th of 2024. It was an election year. Ms. Franklin's husband, Ron Cashton, was running for office, and Commissioner, what's so, disturbing about, and the City Commission has been told that they have to change the public record, they have to scrub it clean of any allegations toward Ms. Franklin because they didn't vet the information. City Commission meetings, there's an agenda that goes out. And it goes out ahead of time because the public has a right to review the information, to vet the information, to do their own research so that they can weigh in on whatever the city commission is doing.
And what about the backup material
that's
supposed to be on the agenda?
That's the backup material for this. That's what I mean. Like, you're right that I didn't mention that the backup material is provided with the agenda. That didn't happen for the meeting of January 16th, 2024. There was no backup material provided. It was a last-minute item put on the agenda. There was no way from the title of the item on the agenda didn't...
Civility. Didn't, it was about civility.
Yeah. Yeah. It didn't communicate anything about the topic. And so if there had been the backup material with this... It was a photo of gorillas outside of a cigar establishment in town where Kyle Batee was doing the ribbon cutting, and somebody had taken Kelly Franklin's vacation photographs from Rwanda where she had photographed gorillas and superimposed photoshopped gorillas around Kyle Batee, which was, you know, an obvious racial smear. And her name was put on this as if she created it. And then Kyle Batee, Commissioner Batee, put it under the public. He never said her name, but he showed her name with this fake photograph. And he went on and on saying, I hope this isn't true. I hope it is. I mean, but then he went on about racism and how he was being mistreated. Never authenticated and that photograph, mashed up, photoshopped, fake photo was allegedly, or, you know, mailed to the Corona cigar bar owner who had been engaged in a contentious argument about getting a public right of way
cafe permit
for people, a cafe permit, which is for a food establishment. It's not for a smoking establishment. And Franklin, who is a cancer patient, who is surviving, incredibly surviving lymphoma, late stage. So, you know, she has a reason to not want cigar smoke in the public right of way. And she is living with the disease that everybody knows tobacco is associated with, all kinds of cancers. So on January 16th of 2024, this is a woman who looks at the backup material. This is a woman who checks out the agenda. She's one of our most engaged city activists. And she, had she seen that, she could have responded to it and debunked it. It was really the burden of whoever put it on the agenda, which the city commission does not want to cop to about. It had to have been, you know, the city auditor and clerk, Shayla Griggs, had to accept it. And who would she, you got to ask, who would she accept a last minute agenda item from without putting any backup material for the public? Who's in a position to make that happen? You know, there's not a whole lot of people. It's higher ups. It's people like the city manager, the deputy city manager, or city commissioner. And honestly, there are city commissioners that I know she wouldn't do that for. So it's not even all of them. And that is the most egregious smear of a citizen that I've seen. And I've been watching local governments since 2008. So it's 18 years. Ms. Franklin filed a writ of mandamus to get her name cleared. The judge agreed with her. And the city commission still hasn't corrected the public record, nor have they. Liz Alpert did apologize at that meeting. But that's the worst example of a city culture where these folks, our commissioners, our staff, are so primed to act like victims when actually they're perpetrating the infringement of free speech and perpetrating smears.
Yeah, the city commissioners don't just sign up for this position. they campaign, they go door to door, they work really hard, as you know, because you ran for a position
county commissioner
years ago. And we knocked on thousands of doors.
Yeah,
it's a lot of work.
Yeah, that was an at large.
So you don't take it lightly.
Mm-mm.
So they should darn well know that the public, when it's their turn to speak, and then there's no rebuttal, of course, should be given leeway. And they're going to be criticized as as the Declaration of Independence listed all the criticism about King George III.
It's like, what are you doing being in public office
right.
if you don't want to be criticized?
Right.
It's going to happen.
And then you turn around and feel you make a case that you're the victim.
Yeah. And, you know, part of the shtick, and I think it's a shtick, that we've seen for the past 3, 4, or 5 years at the city hall, is this staff can do no wrong. They work so, and listen, city staff works hard, and there's a lot of great people.
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't mean they don't make mistakes, and it doesn't mean that they should be immune from accountability. So at that same city commission meeting on January 16th, I want to read you the feedback from Jose Fernandez, who's a citizen, an engaged citizen.
Very good.
And he, so before this even happened with Commissioner Batti using, just accepting a fake social media post that was a racist social media post attributed falsely to Kelly Franklin. I just want to read Jose Fernandez's remarks to the City Commission. My name is Jose Fernandez. I'm a citizen of Sarasota. An article by Mayor Alpert was published in the January 6th Herald Tribune titled, "Let's Give City Staff Members the Respect They Deserve." I take exception to most of the article, but most of all to the premise that the city staff is exempt from scrutiny and critique. Let's start with the statement that staff are accomplished professionals with master's and even doctorate degrees. This is an argument from authority that is often abused, and it's a logical fallacy. The mere fact that people are educated does not make them infallible, nor does it mean their decisions cannot be critiqued. Remember, this is the staff that wrote a zoning code that is being used to try to build an 18-story building that will be almost 350 feet tall. That was the pencil tower, Obsidian, which was absurd. This doesn't mean they are bad people or incompetent. It just shows they can be wrong. There's more. Calling complaints and critiques about city staff, not so veiled attacks, is a mischaracterization of what's being said. Something that all of us who regularly address this body are used to. In other words, Fernandez was saying he was used to being characterized as someone who was attacking when he was offering feedback and critique. So this is his strategy. Fernandez goes on to say the author of these complaints has offered concrete evidence, not opinion, backing up their claims. An email from Mr. Fournier to Mr. Brown on December 8th regarding not commenting to the planning staff read in part, rather than offer substance and comments that I knew from experience could engender a strong negative reaction and might result in an argument I had no interest in having on the 11th by an email from Mr. Brown to Mr. Fournier. It read in part, what you and I discussed at lunch was staff being wedded to their positions in zoning test amendments and not willing to move. I talk to them about that all the time. These emails paint a disturbing picture of the internal dynamics that completely justify the complaints made. Okay, I'm going to stop there. But Fernandez goes on to simply point out a maladaptive culture. And the maladaptive culture is set at the top. And what happened on January 16, 2024 could not have happened if the higher-ups at City Hall required backup material for every agenda item and no last-minute agenda items, which they usually do, but someone got a racially charged smear through at the last minute, and only a higher up person could do that. So I think we need to look at, you know, people are paying with their lives in this country right now in Minnesota. Two people are dead because they exercise their right to free speech. And I'm not saying, you know, these situations are at a different level, but it's the same problem. And the problem here we have is we have a culture. We have, well, people who have put themselves on a pedestal who think that they can shield themselves with like this don't be mean to me defense. And if you're holding me accountable, they redefine that as you're being mean to me. Liz Alpert has done it. We're seeing Debbie Trice do it. We're seeing Kyle Batty do it. Marlon Brown was the poster king of doing that. He would talk about it all the time.
Kathy, I was at a CCNA meeting, the Coalition for City Neighborhoods, where these 30-odd representatives from their various neighborhoods in the city meet usually on Saturday mornings every month. Mm. And Marlon was the speaker, and he got up and actually excoriated the whole of us, the whole audience, because somebody had criticized one of his staff.
Yeah, I remember that. Somebody's got that video. Yeah. Yeah, that was pretty shocking. So this is how the culture has deteriorated, where CCNA, the Coalition of City Neighborhood Associations, is a coalition of representatives from all different city neighborhoods. It is a very savvy, communicative, active citizen group. And they are engaged with city government in forming policy, in bringing forward initiatives. Kelly Brown is the current president of CCNA. I've had her on my show. Never in my experience, I don't think it's ever happened in the city of Sarasota that you had a city manager go to CCNA and dress them down because they were quote unquote mean to staff, which by the way, they're not. They're not. They're just holding staff accountable. So we need to turn this culture around. And let's talk a bit, go back to 2008. Because changing this culture, it didn't happen. It didn't just start a few years ago. I remember it might have been during the 2050 hearings. I remember from the very beginning how some commissioners would engage in disingenuously marginalizing citizen input. My former opponent for county commission, God bless him, anyone, he did it all the time. Oh, that's misinformation. Oh, this isn't a problem. I'm sorry of the personal attacks. So sad, you know. And if you're new to it, I just thought, my gosh, what's happening here? What do you recall in your experience? Because it was pretty shocking.
I recall when you challenged or addressed Joe Barbetta, who was the chair of the county commission. I used to watch his facial expressions. It would twist and turn every time you got up to say something. Mm-hmm. And it was very clear about the dynamics.
That was before I ever ran.
Yes,
yeah,
of course.
Yeah, so I remember that the 2050 plan was a land use plan. It's still there, but it's been pretty much gutted. And it protected the lands east of I-75 from overdevelopment. It allowed denser development and had to be concentrated, and you had to provide a lot of open space. But back in 2013, there were developers who were working behind the scenes to author changes that they wanted, basically gutting the plan. And then in 2014, those changes were rolled out. They were fast-tracked and railroaded through. And I remember one of my neighbors who's an attorney and very well-versed in land use, and she had practiced up in New Jersey. And she said to me, I can't believe. And she had worked with city councils and county supervisors, commissioners up in New Jersey, and she just said they don't listen at all, do they? They don't care what people have to say.
And one would believe that they have already made up their minds for their votes before the public speaks. You know, the public and people who volunteer to spend their time and do research and come and stand up in the city hall or the county commission, they're doing it because of the love for the city. The idea that if you don't like it here, leave. Now, we're here because we see a better option.
Yeah.
And I think that if they were secure, it's like a CEO, if they're secure, they should welcome constructive criticism because maybe some of those people in the audience have a better idea.
Well, Jim, it's if they understood their job. Being secure. If you understand your job, you welcome the input.
Yeah, also, it's not they're doing it for nothing. Back in the day when you and I were more active, they got paid nothing or next to nothing for what is defined as a part-time job. Now, we know some commissioners like Jen Ahern-Koch spends more than full-time doing her research and backup material. And then there are other commissioners, I would dare say, don't read the backup or come prepared at all.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we've seen that too.
Yeah. Well, now I understand they're paid $40,000 to $50,000 a year. So this is greater than the median income for a family in Sarasota County for doing a part-time job.
Mm.
So they're not doing it for nothing. They're doing it for free. And there might be some commissioners who, this is a good job. This is a well-paid job.
Well, yeah. And there's benefits and all that stuff. But I think to get back to your idea and to just flesh it out a bit is that how far we've gotten from the values that this country is founded on at a very local level, city commission level, county commission level. I think the county's actually a little better, maybe.
Lately.
I think it is. And I think that's because the culture is shifting because of who's in those chairs. And we need that in the city commission because this is what the country was founded on. This is what citizenship requires. To be a citizen in this country actually requires engagement, right?
And democracy is not a spectator sport.
No. And, you know, I've watched Jack Smith's input in front of Congress. And it's been, you know, this is a guy who was just doing his job. And to watch the smears against him by people who have something, you know, I think if you do that, it's because you have something to hide a lot of the time. But he was talking about the targeting of election workers, the targeting of poll workers, claiming that they had done something wrong. You had powerful people going after them, and they were receiving death threats. And Jack Smith was talking about his own staff receiving threats. And so, you know, this is our backyard. These people work for us. And if we're going to allow, at the end of the day, the accountability is up to the public. If we're going to accept this culture, then we're going to get what we deserve. We don't have to accept it.
Well, we're not accepting it. As you know, I immediately called Joe Polczak, the city attorney, who was actually sitting there witnessing Mayor Trice cutting people off. I asked him for an interpretation of what the standards are, the rules and the protocol.
Mm-hmm.
And he said he would look into it and come back with a revision for the city commissioners.
How many times do they have to be told, though? They had a consultant telling them flat out, just let people talk. If they want to dance, let them dance. Just give them their 3 minutes.
I think it hinges on what is a personal attack, and maybe that language should be taken out of the guidelines. We will not engage in personal attacks.
Which, that's fine, but that's like, you know, calling somebody, hey, you're stupid. You don't do that.
It's a mile wide. You know, what is a personal attack? So apparently anything can be conceived as a personal attack.
Yeah.
Even if you quote verbatim a city manager or a city commissioner.
Yeah.
That's a personal attack, apparently.
Yeah. You know, the issue that was being brought up by Ronique Hawkins and Mr. Victor Woods had to do with the noise ordinance. And Ronique Hawkins' neighbor who was sitting next to her, and apologies, I don't have that gentleman's name. There's a notion out there that because you live in the city, you have to put up with all kinds of noise. And if you don't want residents in a city, you can set it up so that you don't have any. But that's actually how cities die, you know. You need the residents to be customers for the businesses. You need the residents to bring life to the city. We were sitting outside having dinner downtown last weekend, and there were a couple things. We just were trying to talk with friends, and there were people driving by, you know, with really loud music.
Backfiring, deliberately backfiring.
Right? Yeah, and, you know, to some extent I'm like, oh, you know, kids will be kids. But these people were circling the block.
Cruising. They cruise Friday and Saturday night. And the police and the
commission, don't do anything.
They're well aware of it, but because they've been waiting for 3 years for a solid sound ordinance that they can enforce.
We don't have a sound ordinance?
That's we do have it. We have a sound ordinance, but since the idea that we're the city city attorney, Bob Fournier, has been working on it for over 3 years and handed it off to Joe Polczak, who promises that he's going to come up very soon with
it. See, now, and this is an issue that I think is a sleeper issue in the next upcoming city commission race. And, you know, I think, do people want to have a good time downtown? Yeah, of course. You know, it's true, you don't move to a city expecting the country, you know, expecting crickets at night. That's fair, totally fair. However, there are limits. Like, right. It's not just open the doors to anything.
Yeah, most of the people who are cruising, I would venture to say, don't live downtown, don't live in the area. They come in with their jacked up pickup trucks, their neon lights, with their radios or music blasting, and they cruise. You can watch them spin around and around and go to the roundabout and come back up again.
Yeah.
And they're not adding to the business. The notion that we want diversity and we want people from all over, these people aren't helping the experience downtown.
Well, it's not just that, too. Yes, there's the people cruising, and certainly I don't see what the problem is with giving them a ticket and saying, you know, roll up your windows if you want to play it loud, but you can't impose it on everybody else. There's also an establishment across the street from this place where we were having dinner, and their doors are wide open, sure. And they've got live music. And it wasn't, you know, it wasn't my cup of tea in terms of the music. It's fine to have live music, but if it's spilling out onto the street and impacting the dining across the street, it's too loud.
Right. Well, that's what the draft of the new ordinance is supposed to be addressing.
Is it?
Yes.
Yeah. So here's the thing. You know, a few years ago, a friend of mine, and because we live on the water, like, I'm totally grateful that I live on the water, that we have so much beauty here, but the sound travels, right? So when the Sunset Cruise goes by, that's not a big deal. You know, I can hear the music and people are having fun. That's no problem. But I think the thing to watch out for is Selby Gardens and their interest in a very loose noise ordinance, because Selby Gardens, a few years ago, a friend of mine who lives across the way, took a video and showed how in her backyard there was a party happening in Selby Gardens. And, you know, the threshold is 60 decibels. You're not supposed to go above that if you're doing outdoor music. And at her, you know, she was across the bayou. I think the reading was like 70 or 80.
Yeah,
it was high.
100 yards away.
And she couldn't, she couldn't put her granddaughter to bed. But she has neighbors who are, you know, dealing with a cancer diagnosis and couldn't go to sleep too.
But it shouldn't matter. We're all entitled to peaceable,
right?
Peaceful enjoyment of our property.
That's true. It's not about, it shouldn't be that you have to be sick, but the fact is people are going to need, people are going to deal with health issues and they do need their sleep. So you've got to look at who are, in my opinion, who are the machine candidates? Who are the dark money candidates? Who are the people who are going to be taking PAC money? And what are they being asked to deliver? And one of the things I think that they may be asked to deliver is a very loosey-goosey noise ordinance that really doesn't respect that there are people who live here and that there should be limits. You know, a year ago, same time frame, was it about, it was November of 2024, and Rob Grant and I were at the city commission meeting, and he was giving input on bundled PAC donations, or it was campaign donations, to candidates. At that time, I think Liz and Eric Arroyo and Kyle Betsy. So they were running for re-election, and they were getting donations from a donor who had a development plan. It's not complete yet, but the piece, the first beginning was the giving away cross street. It's called vacating the street, but giving the street to the developer, which isn't a done deal yet. It depends on the site plan. But for the life of me, I don't understand why in the world they would do that. Why would you give away a public street when you don't even have the site plan to look at? It was nuts. But Rob Grant was giving public input, taking issue with the fact that they took these donations and they voted on the issue. And he didn't, in his understanding, he believed they had a obligation to disclose, but that they shouldn't be doing that. They shouldn't be taking these donations. The way his public input was stepped on, interrupted, that Bob Fournier, and God bless Bob Fournier, I love a lot of things Bob did, but there's ways he frustrated me a great deal. And one of them was, you know, they were all chatting up and interrupting Rob Grant's input and saying he couldn't say certain things when it's like, just, would you just let him say what he has to say? And then, you know, if you want to say something about it later, my God, you have all the time in the world. But why are you interrupting somebody's 3 minutes when that's all they get? And, you know, did you see that? I was sitting next to him when it happened.
Yes, I did see that. And I was there.
Yeah.
This has been a pattern of the culture. I just want to end with this. We're here because we love Sarasota.
Mm-hmm.
We bring our life experiences and our professionalism and our best selves, usually, to speak in front of the commission. And the city hall, if you're ever speaking there, you better dress warm because it's really cold. So if you think you're nervous because you haven't spoken in front of the public for a while, your teeth are going to be chattering by the time they get
there. Someone once said to me, are they hanging meat in here? What's going on?
Anyway, we do it because we want to make it better. We're not paid. This is on our own time.
Right.
And we shouldn't be resented. We shouldn't be marginalized. No. We should be respected.
We should be celebrated.
We should be celebrated. Even if you don't like the comments.
Of course.
The commissioners all signed up for this. They were reminded back just a few months ago in October by a paid consultant who's an expert in these dealings. And yet, 2 or 3 months later, the mayor shuts us down.
Yeah, they were reminded to just be quiet and let people speak. That's what the consultant said. Yeah.
Well, those weren't his exact words, but that's how I would interpret it. Yes, give them plenty of leeway.
Yeah, and you know, here's the thing. The city commission, Kelly Franklin filed a writ of mandamus asking that the city commission be required to correct the public record and expunge it from the smears that were perpetrated against her, which, if they had been following any of their protocols, never would have happened. You know, it is so clear that because Ms. Franklin is an effective critic, mm-hmm. because she is calling out things that are obvious problems, like, you know, there was never supposed to be an exception. And frankly, they didn't actually vote on an exception. They just allowed a smoking establishment to put tables out so people could smoke in the public right of way. That's not what the cafe ordinance, you know, allowing tables outside is about. It's about dining. She was effectively criticizing them. And then right. this fake smear shows up in the mailbox of the cigar shop. And then it winds up, you know, Kyle Batty is able to put it on the agenda without providing any backup material and proceeds with something that, had he done any research, his "I hope it isn't true" yeah. would have been "I know it isn't true." He didn't seem to want to know. He just went ahead. He had it for a month. For a month he sat on this thing, and then it shows up in the agenda under an ambiguous title without backup material. Yeah. Our city commission, you know, you may not, if you don't know Kelly Franklin, you don't know her. If you know her and you don't like her, so what? It should be a huge sign to people in the city. If they do it to her, they can do it to you. If they feel free to do it to her and they don't like what you have to say, believe me, they can come after you. And it's up to all of us to say no. This has got to stop. So we're still seeing it. And Ronique Hawkins was the latest who got shut down. And later on that day,
whether it's Fernandez, yeah. whether it's Martin Hyde, or some of the other frequent speakers at open to the public, eventually they get marginalized. And they have a lot of good things to say.
Yeah. We're starting to see a shift, maybe. It's disappointing. You know, I hope Mayor Trice reconsiders her willingness to go along with this culture. We need people who are going to change the culture, and we have elections coming up. So everybody, your local elections matter, and we're going to be electing commissioners in November. We're going to be electing school board members in August. That's when the school board race really happens, in August. And go to SarasotaVotes.gov. Make sure your registration is current and start paying attention to who these folks are at the local level. When you see what the devastating acts that the federal government is perpetrating against citizens, that it's terrible right now. And if we want to clean it up, we've got to look at that, but we got to look at our backyard. So I want to thank you, Jim, for joining me. Everybody, you've been listening to The Detail on WSLR 96.5 LPFM in Sarasota, Florida, and WBPV 100.1 LPFM in Bradenton, Florida. Be sure to stay tuned for more public affairs programming here on WSLR. Make it a great day.
Thank y'all.
When the night time comes, can hear my heart calling. I'm calling to you, my one true love. Well, I'm thinking about you all of the while, thinking about you making me smile. Honey, I'm sitting on top of the world, just thinking about you.
Another day go, another day closer till I make you my own.
Honey, I'm sitting on top of the world. Mm-hmm. show you what I can do.